to Classy Ring Attire Presents the WrestleManias. I'm Joel.
I'm Chris.
And tonight we're going to do WrestleMania 3. The greatest WrestleMania of all time ever, period, the end, according to some people.
Okay. I was about to say, some people wouldn't agree with that. I mean, it was... after watching it in its entirety, it was better than the previous two.
Yes.
But that wasn't saying much.
Because the previous two are WrestleManias 1 and 2?
Yes. And it's out of 3, and, you know, seeing, after witnessing current-day WrestleManias, it's really hard to judge.
Yeah, but I'm, like...
Judge by comparison, yeah.
Imagine what it felt like in 1987.
Oh, absolutely,
when there were
yeah.
3 WrestleManias, and how, like, you know, you look at a trilogy, like Spider-Man 3...
Yeah.
And, you know, like, Superman 3 compared to Superman 1 and 2.
Right.
You know, and so, this trilogy thing, WrestleMania really... And, honestly, this one really felt like it hit its stride on... Like, this was the first one that felt like a WrestleMania.
Yeah, you know what I mean? Especially with the enormity of the venue and the crowd.
Yeah.
That alone really just kind of hammers how big of an event this had turned into.
Yeah.
You know, like we had always heard, oh yeah, you know, 1 and 2 were financial success and it set up, you know, all these other big things. But it didn't really translate on camera that much.
No.
This one translated a lot more.
It translated on camera. It felt like a big event. And a part of that is, and we'll get to it later in the podcast, but the main event felt like a main event.
It did.
It didn't feel like, you know, the biggest match of the night, so it goes at the end of the card.
Well, yeah.
This because it was a 3-year championship against a 15-year undefeated streak.
Right.
Like, and one of those was coming to an end tonight.
It was something real at stake.
There was a match with stakes worthy of concluding a WrestleMania.
Were the stakes well done?
Yes, the stakes were well done, Chris.
I'm glad.
Uh-huh.
Yep. Chris, you're residential dad joke expert.
There you go. Pretty much.
Yep.
All right, so WrestleMania 3 took place Detroit, Michigan on March 29th, 1987.
Mm-hmm.
Also, obviously, this is the one with... It's got the indoor record, right?
Yes.
It's the indoor record, 93,173.
And I'm not making a terrible Star Wars joke. You should be proud.
For what?
The indoor record.
Oh, yeah, that one, the indoor record. God. I remember when that happened.
Should I not have even referenced that right now?
Chris, let's just go. Just go to the card, quick.
We have to make a Star Wars reference at some point.
Fair enough,
so
actually.
There we go.
Check that off the list.
All right, so we start off at, you know, Pontiac Silverdome. Everyone's going crazy. We'll start with the Can-Am connection, which is Rick Martel and Tom Zink. Defeated Bob Orton and the Magnificent Morocco with Mr. Fuji.
Mm-hmm. Just Bob Orton without a cast,
which I thought, you know, good on him. Yeah, you know, he finally got that rehab in.
There you go.
Yeah, it was
fine match.
Yeah, it was good. You know, got the crowd going,
and
they seem to be pretty well behind Can-Am.
Yeah, I mean, this is the thing where it's completely going to be how we feel about, especially these early matches, until we start getting people who I have a soft spot for.
Right.
You know.
Mm-hmm.
And then I'm like, oh, I like that guy because I liked him. But yeah, it was a fine, solid match. I'm not weary from having to watch a lot of, you know, middle-of-the-road matches.
Right.
Which will happen later in the... as it does. So, yeah, fine, solid match.
Yeah, it was
but
a good opener.
I just want to point out, that's what we've said for every opener.
Right.
So.
Yeah, we have nothing that was horrible. It wasn't a 20-minute promo to start a pay-per-view, you know. Just
saying.
It still hurts.
Just saying.
It still hurts. Next up we have Billy Jack Haynes versus Hercules with Bobby Heenan.
Yeah.
I just wanted to note, I'm not so sure that the person portraying Hercules wasn't convinced he was the actual Hercules.
Yes, we looked...
That was the only thing that really struck
me. We looked
a
long time trying to find if in kayfabe he is supposed to actually be the Hercules of Legend.
Because
or believe
he
is the Hercules of Legend.
In his pre-show, or his pre-match interview, he was like, oh, not since, you know, any you know, I tore down whatever in ancient Greece.
Yeah, I'm not totally sure what he tore down, but I think Samson did that. Just
right?
Just saying.
Right?
Which is interesting, because we have a hair versus hair match later on the card, which Samson would be great for.
Samson would be great for.
Fine match. Got to see some Bobby Heenan. Heenan's in this show a lot.
He is, and, I mean, you're okay with it, I'm okay with it.
Yeah.
You know, the more the better at this point, really.
And I liked this match, actually.
Yeah, they fought like,
quite a bit, actually.
Yeah, double count out.
These are two guys who I really liked, so.
Yeah.
It's you know, as matches will come later, like, this is not what this pay-per-view will be remembered for.
Really?
Yes, really. This isn't it.
I don't know. I think, I don't think it's been long enough. I think time would tell.
if Billy Jack and Hercules ends up being the match of WrestleMania 3.
Favorite match of all time, yeah.
Well.
I think it still needs some time.
We'll return to this when we count down to like WrestleMania 60.
1987 to 2013 was not enough time.
All right.
Do we have to talk about this match?
So.
Do we have to? I don't even want to read the names.
So, there's this thing where WrestleMania 3 is considered to be like the pinnacle of this era of wrestling, but that's largely for two specific matches, which are later in the card.
Yes.
And there's a lot of forgetting that other matches were on the card,
mm-hmm.
and what exactly those other matches might be.
Yes. So, when you hear the phrase, a mixed tag team match, what's the first thing that comes to your mind, Joel?
Well, clearly it is one of the superstars and one of the divas, or one of the men wrestlers and women wrestlers, depending on which area you're talking about.
Yeah.
Exactly, yes. And they will tag in and out.
Well, that's not what happened here.
No, it is not!
In this instance, a mixed tag team match is when a single, fully grown human man teams up with three little people, which is not what they were called during the pay-per-view.
No.
They called them the M-word, which I will not repeat right now because I don't want to offend anyone. But they were it's like they were using that word and the entire time. And I know, you know, political correctness is, you know, it changes every few years.
Yes.
So it just felt odd because I was like, in my head, I was like, they're saying that to their faces. Isn't that wrong?
Here's honestly all I really care to take from this. King Kong Bundy was in the main event last year.
Yeah.
King Kong Bundy is in the third match on the card and is in clearly the gimmickiest match on the card.
Yes.
This is a card that will later feature Adonis in a hair versus hair match, and he is still in the gimmickiest match on the card.
Right. But yeah, instead we got King Kong Bundy teaming up with Little Tokyo and Lord Littlebrook against Hillbilly Jim, the Haiti Kid, and Little Beaver.
And good night, everybody.
Good night, everyone. There's not really anything to say about that because pretty much the commentating crew made all the jokes that you need, whether they knew it or not, because I don't know what was code back then, or if sexual harassment, or not sexual harassment,
sexual
but sexual
innuendo.
If sexual innuendo existed in 1987.
But the fourth match on the card was...
The third match would have died if Twitter was around back then.
Man.
Yeah. What? Yes, let's go to the... I don't even care who won the last one. I don't... It was DQ, who cares?
Yeah.
Next was... Harley Race.
With, again, Bobby Heenan, and also Fabulous Moolah, beating Junkyard Dog. Bummer, because I like the Junkyard Dog.
In a loser must bow match.
That's a made-up match.
I know. That was essentially the thing, because, you know, Harley Race was the king of wrestling. You know, that was his thing. Junkyard Dog didn't take too kindly to that.
And which is a bummer, because I like Junkyard Dog.
Yeah.
And I like Junkyard Dog fine before this, but, like, in these past three WrestleManias, I've really grown attached to Junkyard Dog.
You're not the only one. It seems like that was the running thing back then.
I've been real charmed by Junkyard Dog, so...
Yeah, I mean, I'm okay with it. I'm just... not as smitten as you are.
I don't know. Sorry.
It happens. Mm-hmm. He's going to be your new favorite?
Probably not.
He's going to be right. It's going to be him and Mick Foley for you. I already know it.
No. Junkyard Dog is not on Mick Foley levels of unadulterated adoration.
I mean, you never heard of that Junkyard Dog Hell in a Cell match?
Besides, how much more do we have of Junkyard Dog?
I'm not exactly sure. I know he passed away. I don't know what year. I'm pretty sure it was well after his WWF career.
Yeah. So, I don't know how many more WrestleManias he'll be in.
Yeah.
But
I mean, there's an easy way to find out. We just don't feel like finding out.
We can't find out right now.
Fair enough. Next we have the Dream Team, which is consisted of Greg Valentine and Brutus Beefcake, with Johnny Valiant and Dino Bravo, going against the Fabulous, how do they say that?
I don't know.
Regis.
I don't know.
Jacques and Raymond.
Yeah. This is
Dream Team 1.
Yeah, obviously.
That's all you need to know.
This is one of those things where, you know, I do not today know of some of those wrestlers.
Correct.
Without having looked it up.
Yes.
And there is a reason why. And we move on along.
Yes, we will. Because next was, with a lot of fanfare,
Roddy Piper
going
in his retirement match.
Yeah, it was billed as his retirement match against Adrian Adonis in a hair versus hair match. Adrian Adonis was accompanied by Jimmy Hart.
Mm-hmm.
Roddy Piper was going to leave to get into acting, which he did for, I think, 2 years, and then he came back.
Yeah.
Crowd was loving Roddy Piper, even at the end, because, you know, Roddy Piper ended up winning. Even at the end, you know, a very gleeful fan hops up and was starting to celebrate with Roddy. And Roddy seemed like he was all right with it until he realized, oh, wait, this is a stranger. And then Roddy leaves,
and we can see in the corner of the camera, over Roddy's shoulder, some police guy, having some words.
Oh,
and
you say...
Some arresting words.
You say words, I say fists.
This guy was getting put away.
Yes. Putting away very well.
Yeah. It's kind of nice to, because, you know, like Roddy Piper a lot.
Yeah.
It's kind of nice to see him cheered after he was booed for the last two WrestleManias. Although he's, you know, obviously a guy where I'm like, he is there to be booed, and God, he can get some boos.
Oh, Lord, yeah.
So, Roddy Piper doing what he does.
Yep.
I enjoyed it, largely thanks to Roddy Piper.
Mm-hmm.
Next match.
We got the Hart Foundation, with Bret Hart and Jim Neidhart, with Danny Davis?
Yeah, with also with Jimmy Hart.
Going up against British Bulldog, Davey Boy Smith, the Dynamite Kid, and Tito Santana, and their little Bulldog, who was taken by Jesse Ventura.
Yeah.
I don't understand what happened there, but okay.
I also need to point out there's a lot of tag matches in this WrestleMania.
I think it was one of those things where they just wanted as many people on the card as they possibly could.
They were cramming that card full. Which is why, there's tag teams plus this other guy.
Right.
So.
Hart Foundation and Danny Davis end up winning. I still don't quite get the significance of Danny Davis. I think it was like he was a rogue referee, like he was the Braddocks of that time.
Yeah.
The Braddocks is obviously way more handsome.
Braddocks.
But I mean, there's no one more handsome than Braddocks.
Of course not.
Come on. You guys are dreamy.
This was the match that felt really long.
It felt really long. Took all freaking night.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's not even the longest match on the card.
No.
But it felt like the longest match on the card. Because the two matches, which are the two matches of this show, were the two longest.
Mm.
But they didn't feel like it.
Right.
And this one, so, and I hate to say it, because it's Bret Hart, and it's, you know, British Bulldog, but this is the one that felt long in the bad way.
Right. Yeah. So. It was not...
Stuff didn't click.
It was slow.
Yeah.
You know, especially when you compare it to what we consider to be the better match of the night. Everything else just seems slow by comparison.
Yeah.
And it's just...
But it was...
And it's probably unfair to compare everything to that match, but still, just... The pacing what we're used to and what we like...
Yeah.
...is so much quicker than the normal pace for WrestleMania, or for matches.
Wrestling at that time.
At that time.
And honestly, it might be unfair because, you know, I'm watching this all these years later. I know that these two matches, and specifically this one match, is coming up. I'm ready to see it at this point, you know, kind of the thrill of watching WrestleMania has started to wear off. You know, I'm at the seventh match of the night. and I'm ready to get to the ones. And it is a longer match. I think it's the third longest match of the show. So it's not like it was a short match. It just felt really long.
Right.
But it was long, and it did not use its time well, I thought.
By WWE standards, it would have gotten 2 commercial breaks, probably.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Next up, we got Butch Reed with Slick, who forgot he existed, show of hands.
There you go. I did. Until I reminded myself that, oh yeah, he officiated the wedding between Daniel Bryan and AJ.
Yeah.
At Raw 1000.
Defeated Coco Beware.
Yep.
Who forgot he existed, raise of hands.
Kind of. I mean, I didn't know that existed.
And honestly, he was the most 80s thing of the night if it wasn't for the Killer Bees later in the show.
Oh. Oh, God. Why did you have to remind me of that?
Like, when I saw Coco Beware, I was like, that's it. There's your 80s old with his package. With
his bird and he'll have his bright yep. Coco bird wear.
Yeah. And then the Killer Bees came out later.
Yeah, I don't really have anything to say about Butch Reed and Coco Beware.
Nope, this match was short. I mean, short.
Slick ended up, you know,
Getting beat up
and his mm-hmm. clothes kind of ripped up. Which we'll revisit.
Yes. But we gotta go and get through this match, because next match... Oh.
It's the match, everyone. Mm,
you
it's
guys.
Ricky Steamboat, accompanied by George the Animal Steel, and going up against Randy Savage with Miss Elizabeth for the Intercontinental Championship.
This match, just it upsets me so much how unimportant the Intercontinental Championship is
right
on today's product.
Mm-hmm.
Because people went through matches like this to yeah. earn and to fight for that title.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, and yeah, we could still get those matches nowadays.
Yeah.
If and, people would give a crap, or they would put the right people...
Well, here's the thing. It's, and honestly, you know... I'm going to revisit that complaint later in this series, because it's not so long ago that there were really great Intercontinental Championships. Like, Triple H has had great ones, and Chris Jericho has had great ones,
yeah.
you know, fighting for that title. So it's not like this was the end of the glory days for that title, but this match, you guys, like, it's one of those things where, you know, I had heard about this match long before I ever saw it.
Yeah.
And I, you know, it was a little bit of like, how can I build up enough in this match?
It was one of those things, I don't think you had ever watched the match Bell to Bell yet.
I had not seen the match Bell to Bell before. Right. And I had not actually seen the end of this match, so I did not right. know who won right. it.
Yeah, the first time I ever watched it, I was kind of, I almost felt like I didn't want to, because, you know, I had heard so much about it. Yeah. That I was like, I don't know if I want to get this ruined. Like, I don't know, because I'm going to end up watching it, and I'm like, it was good. You know, I wasn't sure how I was going to feel. Of course, when I watched it, I was like, by all means, this was fantastic. The hype, every inch of hype about this is absolutely true.
Yeah.
And it was fantastic. I don't know what else to say about it.
No, it's a match that sets a standard.
And, yeah, and it's... And you can tell how monumental it was, because if you think about it, wrestling nowadays is a lot more like this.
Yeah.
You know, it just, you know, the casual match is more fast paced. It's more
bouncy.
Is that like you know. You know, certain moves have there's a very specific reason why certain moves are done.
Mm-hmm.
It's just, yeah, like, it seems like from this point on, everyone is going to, I don't want to say mimic, but they're going to try to be in that fashion.
Well, the thing is, even, you know, at the time, the commentating team was talking about how good this match was. Like,
yeah.
As it ended, they were talking about this was a match.
Mm-hmm.
And it's easy, you know, obviously, honestly, they do that against after every match. They go, you know, it's a what a match, one for the record book, blah, blah, blah. But, like, it really felt genuine on this
right,
match.
It was one of those, and yeah, you make a very good point. Like, they say that a lot. They say that way too much nowadays. Like, oh, it was a classic or whatever. But then there's those matches where it is legitimately great.
Mm-hmm.
And those same people, I don't know, you hear something different out of them. Like, the WWE Championship match at Over the Limit between CM Punk and Daniel Bryan.
Right.
In 2011. Mm-hmm. Or 2012, yes. You heard Michael Cole just completely raving about the match as soon as it was done. You know, and this is the guy who still kind of was burying Daniel Bryan any chance he got.
Mm-hmm.
You know? And, you know, even with the John Cena and Daniel Bryan match from SummerSlam, even that, you know, they were just like instant classic, you know, blah, blah, blah. So, yeah, like, it's they overuse all of the hyperbole nowadays.
Yes.
But you still can tell the difference between when it's genuine or when they're being told to say that.
Yeah. There are, because this match is so monumentous, there are, like, tiny things about it that, like, I almost feel like I wish were different because it's like George Steele's, like, interferences and contributions to the match.
Right.
And, like, you're interfering with classic.
Right, yeah.
Even though he's part of this classic, but it's, you know, but it's Ricky Steamboat and Randy Savage.
Yeah.
And a big thing is, like, this is one of two matches, I think the only two matches on the card that where titles were on the line.
Right.
So it felt like a big deal that this title was on the line and that this title changed hands. Titles change hands, you know, almost, they have changed hands on weekly and nightly basis.
Yeah.
You know, now. But this is a thing where, like, this felt earned.
Yeah.
It felt well defended. I don't know. It's just, it's a forever feather in cap.
Absolutely.
So.
No kidding.
It's like, and yeah, no, that's. It's about, like, the best review I can give. It's like,
oh. Yeah, yeah. Oh, absolutely. And it was the longest match of the night, and very
much every second of it was, you know, well used.
Next, we have the Honky Tonk Man with Jimmy Hart going up against Jake Roberts, who's accompanied by, or he's accompanied with Alice Cooper.
Who I guess is the celebrity guest of the night.
Well, yeah, Bob Uecker.
Oh, yeah.
Got a lot of play.
Yeah.
So there's that. Yeah, the match was okay.
It's okay.
I can't stand Honky Tonk.
I know you hate Honky Tonk Man. I'm kind of impartial about him.
Yeah.
And because I'm impartial about him, I have not taken a lot of time to go back and, like, watch him in his prime and see what he's really capable of.
Right.
So it's nice to see him here where it's like, oh, he actually does have some genuine in-ring talent, you know. It, not compared to the match we just saw, but,
right,
you know, it's, there is actual wrestling skill.
And then we did get Jimmy Hart and Alice Cooper kind of face off.
Yeah.
And Alice Cooper, you know, took off his jacket and he revealed those spaghetti strings he calls arms. I don't have muscles, and you're a pretty skinny guy, but that's just embarrassing.
Oh, Alice Cooper.
But, I mean, you know, cocaine does that to a man.
Yep. I like that he just kind of looked lost, like he'd accidentally wandered into WrestleMania. But hey, there's a snake. Oh yeah, and the snake came out of the bag, because always.
Oh, I mean, because why not? Because
always.
I still feel bad for the snake.
I always feel bad for that snake. Next up, we have another tag team match.
Yep, Iron Sheik and Nikolai Volkoff, your boy. And also joined by Slick with, I think it looked like his clothes was stapled together.
Yeah, like
earlier.
He could not.
I guess he just didn't have to change his clothes.
During the longest match of the night, he did not have time to go back and change clothes. Or buy a shirt.
Well, yeah, he had two matches.
He had two matches. One of them was the longest of the night. The other one wasn't short either.
No. But yeah, they went up against the Killer Bees, but, you know, consisted of B. Brian Blair and Jim Brunzel.
Those costumes.
Yeah.
You guys.
Just.
Those costumes.
You can't see it, but all I can do is shake my head with a scrunched up face. Just.
They really took that Killer Bees gimmick to heart.
Yeah.
And honestly, this match was probably fine.
Sure. Yeah.
And, you know, we've seen the tag team of foreign heels before. And, you know, they did what they were supposed to and were fine. But these costumes have literally overshadowed this match in my brain.
You know what I found out this week? Because I know how much of a soft spot you have for Nikolai Volkoff now. For some reason, you really like the guy. In the past. And yeah, I'm not saying it's unfounded or anything. It's just, him more than most people he really is. Like, oh, I like him. Guess what Nikolai Volkov's doing now these days? He's running a youth athletic center because he loves working with the kids.
Rock on, Nikolai Volkov.
Yeah, I was like, oh, Joel would be so happy to find out he's an all right guy.
Yeah, I mean, I like Nikolai Volkov because he was a really generic. You boo him because he's a communist.
I mean, you know, Cold War era was a simple time, man.
Yeah, no, it's like, it's a little bit of a, like, reminds me of a simpler time.
Yeah, you hate the commies, and you hate everyone that befriended the commies.
And here's this song, you sing this song. There we go. Oh, and Hacksaw came out.
Oh, yeah, and he was just walking around the ring.
Yeah.
Really. I think, wasn't he the cause for the disqualification?
Yeah, no, he's why the team heel, foreign heel won.
I was thinking, was the U.S. thing like a later on gimmick? And, you know, whenever, you know, his ring skills weren't all that great, he just kind of stuck to the 2x4. Nope, it was apparently an is always thing.
Because he had but a little tiny flag on his 2x4.
On his 2x4.
And then...
yeah, and then the big main event.
Yes.
Tell me how you feel
about this main event. I'm very curious.
I mean, obviously wasn't the match of the night. It was a big moment. I will give it that. It felt like a big moment. The crowd was really into it. The build-up was into it. And then at the end, you know, the reaction was fantastic. So, you know, by all means, yeah, this was what should have ended the night.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and everyone talks about this moment in history and how this was such a big thing for Hogan, but Hogan was already a big thing before this.
Yeah.
So did he really need it? Probably not. But did it pretty much cement the Hulk Hogan legacy? Absolutely. Like, anytime anyone can defeat somebody with such a storied career like Andre the Giant, yeah, that's going to do wonders for somebody's career. You know.
Okay.
How did you feel?
I felt, okay, I'm taking you back to a non-wrestling event in 2008.
Okay.
When Iron Man came out.
Okay.
You watched Iron Man, and you're like, there it is, best superhero movie of this year.
Yep.
Iron Man's amazing. Iron Man, and it should have been, it just had the really bad luck of coming out the same year that Dark Knight came out.
Yes.
And so it can't be. That's how I feel about this match.
Right.
All accounts, it should have been match of the night, no question. Right. It just had the really bad luck.
Had this happened in WrestleMania 2, you would feel differently. It was like, this was fantastic.
Match of the night, easily. Right. It will probably be match of the night if it had been at WrestleMania 4.
I mean, from a technical standpoint, yeah, it wasn't all that. But here's the thing. Overall, bell to bell, yeah, it could have been a match of the night contender.
Well, here's the thing. We talked about with Steamboat and Macho Man how a lot of in-ring skill is kind of taken from, built on, based around what they did there,
right,
emulating that style. The way I feel like stories are told, feuds are built.
Yeah.
This is a prime example of that working, of that being something there at the very beginning. And it's the first time in three WrestleManias where I felt the story.
Right.
You know? Like, there's other stuff. I understood the story, but it's all, these guys are feuding. And this one, it's a lot more of like, here's this extended career. It's, you know, we talked about it, it's a 3-year championship versus a 15-year undefeated streak.
Yeah.
And it's the fact that Andre the Giant basically got, for lack of a term, a smaller trophy for 15 years undefeated than Hogan got for 3 years champion.
Right.
And thus Andre sees that without a championship thing, he will not be, you know, he will always be a second fiddle kind of character.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a very justifiable heel turn there. One that didn't happen so much back then. There was a lot of heel turns because I'm the bad guy and twist my mustache.
Yeah.
Like, Andre was a genuinely sympathetic heel to me.
Yeah.
At that time. And so to bring Bobby Heenan in, because of his past with Hogan, to have him manage Andre, there's like emotional, genuine betrayal.
Yeah.
It's so easy and possible. Even today, now, Remember, this all happens before I was in any way, shape, or form cognizant of what wrestling was.
Yeah.
On account of my lack of birth. I can still get, like, emotionally invested in this story.
Yeah.
Hearing about it and knowing about it. Something that did not happen with Hulk Hogan and King Kong Bundy.
No.
Something that did not happen with Mr. T doing anything.
True.
And so, the build-up to this match...
Yeah.
...was spot-on perfect. The build-up to this match is something I can compare to the build-up to, like, Taker and Punk, you know, or Taker and Shawn Michaels, where it's like, these guys could, you know, get into that match and just have a drop-down awful match. Mm-hmm. But because of the build-up and because of my pre-investment into it, I'm still ready and invested in that match. And yeah. The whole tagline of unstoppable force, immovable object. And because of the two wrestlers, and again, long, extended careers, you know, the history of these two careers, it is a saying, unstoppable force, immovable object, but one of them is clearly the unstoppable force, and one of them is clearly the immovable object.
Yeah.
There is a thing where they both have something on the line, there is genuine risk for both of them, and even knowing the outcome, I can see how the match was built, where either guy could have walked away with that title.
Yeah, and it was something I noticed more with WrestleMania 3, just in, as a whole, is that we're seeing the growing trend of the episodic storyline.
Yes.
Leading up to this big match. All up and down the card, you know, we saw it with Piper and Adrian Adonis. You know, we saw a little bit of it with Steamboat and Macho Man.
Yeah, a lot of previous.
We saw a lot of it with
Hogan and Andre.
And even if they didn't have that much of a video package or anything like that, they, you know, they referred to what happened in the past. Whereas you didn't really get that as much. You got a little bit of it at WrestleMania 2, especially with Mr. T and Piper.
Yeah.
But you'd gotten almost none of it with WrestleMania 1.
No, and it's clearly something that we will watch build as we get closer to, I don't know, closer to the Miz's Hate Me Now promo, which I'm still going to hold up on this beautiful pedestal.
As it should be. Like, say what you want about Miz's career or his in-ring ability, like, but that is probably the best moment I've ever witnessed.
From the video package creation team.
Absolutely, yeah.
So, but this moment is where it started. So even though obviously Steamboat and Macho Man, bell to bell, best in ring action to happen that night or any previous WrestleManias, I can still almost make a case for Hogan and Andre being match of the night because of the build up, because of the emotion felt, you know, in the ring by the crowd for that moment.
Yeah.
And it ends with Hogan champion, the good guy being the champion, the guy who stayed true to his morals and values being the champion. And so in a storytelling world, there is your happy ending. Of course, wrestling, you know, somebody, they got to go out the next night or the next event and continue this never-ending soap opera storyline. But, like, that moment right there was a very sentiment, you know, cemented in history moment. Great match, because great emotion involved. And not to say that the actual in-ring work wasn't bad. It was solid, in-ring work. The successful body slam and, like, the crowd reaction after that. Still had a leg drop.
I know.
Still had a leg drop.
You really hate that leg drop.
I hate that leg drop. I hate it so much.
And it's like, this match alone. Because before the match, we had Hulkamania and all that stuff. But after this match, and just the hugeness of it all, it transformed him into the monster we now know as Hulk Hogan.
Yeah.
You know, like, he pretty much wrote out the rest of his career on this moment.
Yeah.
I mean, granted, you know, there was obviously some big memorable moments in his career, even in WWF and then in WCW. Afterwards, notice I didn't say anything about TNA.
Basically, there's this in NWO.
Right. Yeah, and even in NWO, it was more about, you know, the other guys.
Yeah.
you know.
But it's, I don't know, it's the first time where I could see where I could get emotionally invested in the wrestling, in the story of wrestling. Which, again, is, I've long said on throughout the podcast, is, like, my first and foremost thing is the storylines that they try and tell through promos and through stuff. So, that's why, obviously, Match of the Night, I can't say it's not Steamboat and Randy Savage. It's Steamboat. Like, no. But, God, I really, like, impassionately loved what happened at this. And it's why I am, like, I am genuinely content in being, you know, front and center in the camp for WrestleMania 3. Top, you know, top to bottom being the best WrestleMania of this era. And, of course, I have never seen WrestleMania 4.
Right.
You know, maybe I will be completely, completely changed next week, but...
You probably won't, but okay.
No. But, obviously, I'm saying best WrestleMania so far. Best WrestleMania so far?
Easily.
WrestleManias have just gotten better so far.
You sure about that?
Did you not put... I put 2-1 last time. Did
you're right, I did.
So, I have said WrestleManias have done nothing but improve. And then obviously Steamboat and Savage being my match of the night, I assume yours as well.
Yeah, absolutely.
So Steamboat has been in your match of the night for three all straight. Three,
yep.
Yep. All right. Fair enough. That's about it for me.
Yep.
And WrestleMania 3.
Absolutely.
All right. Next week we'll bring you WrestleMania 4, which I'm not as excited about as I was about WrestleMania 3.
I mean, main event rematches are great, right? Right. Rock and Cena 2 definitely was.
It's the original twice in a lifetime.
Yep.
Alright, you guys.
I'm coming home. I'm coming home.
Nope. Alright. We'll be back next week. Until then, stay classy and huzzah.
Huzzah.